Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, welcome to Faces of Success Radio.com. I am so excited tonight, you guys. I mean, I am super excited. We have Charles Douglas coming on this evening, which is the founder and artistic director of the Performing Arts for Life and Education Foundation. We have so much we're going to get into this evening. Some of you might even know him from Star Trek. But in the meantime, in between time, we're going to jump into a little reggae tonight. We're going to hear Why Is Love from Bishop Wayne.
Gigantic migraine.
Yes, I.
Head full of promise on me pan lonely lane. I'm near about him off the top of me. Wish men want to run from me. I even couldn't stop cry. Drop to me knees as Father God, why? Anything that she want, I woulda give her the sky. Put a hook in me heart and she walk out of me life. So try me feel she do the whole thing despite.
Despite.
The whole thing not right.
The whole thing not right.
So try me feel she do the whole thing despite.
Despite.
The whole thing not right.
Why is love this way? It's an illusion.
my favorite moments are the ones I share with you. Hey, loving you, hugging you, and kissing you. You gave your jokes when no one but me had a clue. And so I know my favorite person is still you. I guess I'll try it one more time. Give it everything that I can. Learn to love you as before. Throw suspicions out the door. Hey, no jealousy reigns, and when it comes it stains. You take you over like cancer, then my action has no answer. Share the smile that I thought was only mine. With some other guy, my anger just reached the sky. A bad woman at all, no. I guess I tried one more time. Give it everything that I can. Learn to love you as before. Throw suspicions out the door. The ones I shared with you, hey, loving you, hugging you, and kissing you. You gave your jokes when no one else had a clue. And so I know my favorite person is still you. Yes, I'll try it one more time.
Oh no, freedom, don't come without a fight. Many die, many make sacrifice. But me nah make them get me not them corner. Them instigate and formulate nothing but drama. Trying to get me under, but none of them no stronger than the powers of the Father. Fire burn them lava.
From Loyal Flames, and just as we promised on this hour, we have Mr. Douglas in the studio with us right now, and we're going to bring him on in. So we have community activist, producer, director, and award-winning writer, Charles Douglas. Welcome to Faces of Success Radio. My name is Pearl J. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so excited about doing it. So here we are. Let's go.
Well, thank you so much
for having me. You know, I appreciate it. Yes.
So let's jump right into things. I would like to know, in your early years of your life, you know, how did you know, you wanted to become an actor?
Well, I think it's part of my DNA. Actually, I didn't know it per se. So I was maybe 12 years old. I'm from Philadelphia, the streets of Philadelphia. City of brotherly love, of course, and sister love, of course, too, you know. So, I think at age about 14, I was working in a church, backstage working in a church, and a young lady came from Britain named Irene Patton for a quote-unquote human renewal program in the streets of Philadelphia. She grabbed my four brothers, or six of us, four of them she grabbed, put them in a theater project. I was not one of them at that time. But I heard they were going there every day in the evening after school, and she gave them a piece of candy when they finished their little rehearsals. And, you know, for us in the streets, it was like, oh, everybody a little something, a little cookie and candy after rehearsal. So that sounds very nice. So she was missing an actor, and I was not around there. I wasn't even there. I was doing my own thing in the garden type of thing. My brother said, no, come on down. Come and see Miss Patton. See what we're doing here. So I went down after Purity Fool. She said, oh, I like you. I like you. What's your name? I said, Charles Williams. No. We have a character for you. What? I want you to play Richard Brown. What? Richard who? She said, okay. It's a show called, I'm doing a show called Richard Brown and the Dragon. I want you to be Richard Brown. I was so flattered.
That's
and my brothers were the dragons. Yes, yes, yes. That's how I began humbly from Philadelphia.
So moving along, you know, I know that you got a role in Star Trek. Can you tell our listeners how that all flourished?
Well, in the age of about maybe 28, 29, maybe a little older, I was working at a tennis club in Hollywood. I had a manager at the time. She was a member of the tennis club. She got me a job there as a waiter. And to make a long story short, as a waiter, I met many, many people. Nice people, upscale people there, you know, in the business, Paramount Studios, things like that. There was a young lady I spoke to, a black lady now named Jerry, and she and I spoke every day for like maybe a year or something before I knew what she really did. It turned out, I told her I was an actress, so you were an actress once on so on. Long story short, she was the wife of the executive producer of none other than Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I know you're asking. Yes, and she said, let me do this. Next week, my husband's having a go-see at Star Trek. Now, go-see is when you just go to see the producer and talk to him. She liked my energy, you know, so I said, okay, I want you to see him. Okay, fine. I said, okay, I'll go see him and come on out of there. You know, I do those things. I went there to go-see, and happy at the time, they're doing the final callbacks, a big role in Star Trek Next Generation. Now, all these white girls were there. Yep, at least six went before I went. I was there, the last one, waiting in the hallway to go in just to see these producers coming up out of there. Well,
wow.
It's a long story, but I'll just make it as short as I can. So what happened was the boys were in and out. I heard somebody say, what's that? And that was in the audition. So I said, what is this? So I read the slides of the script. It said this particular character is running the ship. And he runs into this Magana Quadrant with this little monster there, and he kills people. So these boys were all there dying. I had no idea they were there dying. And so it came my turn to die, my turn to act a fool, and look out. Lights, camera, action. I didn't die.
Wow. I mean, just the whole scene.
To me, I died in that show and got the job.
Just the whole scene of, you know, being on this, you know, spaceship and all of that type of stuff. I mean, the whole props and setup for that. I mean, it had to be absolutely amazing because I've watched that most of my childhood life. And I mean, I just loved it. And I mean, how was that for you? I mean, just
a dream come true. You can imagine the electronic feeling. And I knew the guy playing Riker. We did a show in New York City off Broadway together, so we knew each other. So I was at home on the set, and I got to see everything and eat. And oh my God, they took such good care of me. It was dynamic. Just and dropped and
wow.
You know, I rode the ship. I was one of the few that ever drove the ship. Maybe four, but the whole ship started next week.
You have so much going on. How do you bring balance, you know, to your life, you know, with all this going on all at once?
Like all of us, it begins with a mother. She was so spiritually centered and God-spirited woman, country girl. We're like brothers and sisters. We love each other so, so much. She put the fear of God in my heart and all her nine kids' hearts. So I'm always guided by spirituality, guided by her guidance that got me to where I am in my life today. And I love her so, so much. Her name was Mamie Lee Williams.
Wow. And so how could you describe your creative thought process?
Well, I do, you know, I consider myself an actor first. I had good training from the Actors Studio in New York City. From off-Broadway shows, I had some excellent teachers, so I know the craft of acting. So I begin with the craft itself first. Take the words, understand the words and what the meaning behind the words, and build like you're building a house. The foundation of what the words are trying to say to you before you say the words, the subtextual elements, and build upon that. Words, meaning, feeling, intonation. Partners, And then before too long, you have a beautiful, dynamic skyscraper of activity, of a theater, you know, of dynamic action, you know, of characters.
Right. What was your first teacher like?
Miss Watson? In first grade?
Yes.
Only thing I remember, she got me very verbose. Nice lady. Very, very sweet. Very, very soft-hearted. And she always had me in the front of the class all the time. I didn't know. I was first grade. I didn't know anything like that. But I was so talkative and so energetic. So, you know, Mrs. Watson's name. And I never forget her. I just hate going to second grade.
As you grew into, you know, the entertainment industry, did you ever get a chance to go back and speak with her? Or, I mean, did she ever, I mean, you know, get the opportunity to come and say, I can't believe it. You're, you know, an actor on
no,
Star Trek.
None of my teachers in my career. You know something? No.
Wow. So what is your main inspiration?
Well, first of all, I like the idea of creating a character on stage and taking from life the things I was like a semi-scientist myself. I love creation and things like that. So being able to take a character and put it on stage and excite people, give some people different dimensions and different points of view on things, I love being able to do that. I guess that's why I'm a teacher as well. I teach young people to take a character, develop it, bring it on stage, and make some people laugh or cry or smile or relate to something. So I love touching people's lives with the lives I bring up on the stage when the movies are telling something like that.
That's a beautiful thing, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of people that don't take out the time to want to see people laugh and smile or have a good time, you know what I mean? There's so much going on in this world today. It just kind of like went crazy. So, I mean, I really appreciate, you know, having to know someone that actually is inspired by inspiring others. And so what actor do you admire the most and why?
Well, I used to, I still do, but I think it's, well, Sidney Poitier.
Mm-hmm.
Smart, sharp, eloquent, disciplined. And my mother loved him. She would always talk about Sidney Poitier. And when she said, Charles, you can be like Sidney Poitier, I was so driven, and he became such an icon to me. I just loved everything about him. And I met his daughter, and I met him one time only, you know, and I was just so mesmerized. Mm-hmm. But, yes, Sidney Poitier is like my idol, my everything, my person I look up to, because he was so proud and so strong and disciplined. I had no idea he was so in terms of blackness.
I didn't realize that.
I grew up politics. But this man is into blackness, too. He's an artist, and he still takes just any parts. He's a very strong, sophisticated person. So I love that whole idea, all dimension of Sidney Poitier.
All right. And what is one message that you would like to give to your fans?
Persevere. Whatever you're doing from any walks of life, persevere. Be the best. And whatever you want to be the best at it. You know, my mother always said that. If you're going to be garbage man, trash man, actor, whatever you're going to be the best and persevere it and believe in yourself.
Right. And so what do you enjoy most about being a writer?
Well, like I said to you earlier, I have a wild imagination. And thank God in America, we can write what we can write, use our imagination, go as far as we want to go with it. And so when I first wrote the piece, maybe age 16, 17, I write a little holiday events for my brothers and sisters to do, make money, doing different like Christmas plays or Halloween parties and stuff like that. I write the script for them.
Mm-hmm.
So my work come alive, my imagination come alive on little things. The people to work. I wrote that thing late last night. So when people understand, you touch them with your work, that's what I love about creating stuff as a writer.
Right. Wow. And so tell me about your best stage performance.
Say it again.
Share with us your very best stage performance.
Well, it's kind of hard to say because it was sort of off stage. I'll cut to the chase. It was my final callback for a show I was doing. It was at least 25 guys up for this role. And we went to weeks of auditions. And this is the very last day of the audition, the final callback in this dark, dark studio in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to pretend we were like a spider, bodies, and move around, and be really, really kinetic to movements, you know? And mm-hmm. so then you see the stage manager say, come to my policy, spider to fly, the stage manager, all these weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
This last final callback day, I was doing this wiggling and wabbling, gyrating after like a pure spider in the darkness, and I heard this. Come to my parlor.
Oh.
To the And that was Lita Horne.
Wow.
At the final callback. Yep.
That was amazing. Wow.
I got the role
and so
spot in the fly with her, opposite her in London.
Oh, wow. So let me ask you this. Do you experience a lot of stress before you go on stage?
Well, that's a double-edged sword. As a natural human being, yes. As an artist, you learn how to pull that in and use that energy on stage to make it role powerful, to give it back to the audience. And that little tingling in your nerves, that the tingling going on right there, you share
mm-hmm.
that with the audience. You share that give and take and makes your character grow and become something more spontaneous, more alive on stage. So I use that energy. Yes, I get nervous, but I try to use it and translate into the role, whatever I'm doing on stage, make it come alive for me.
Well, I have watched you many years, and you definitely make things come alive. And so what is the big...
I'm not a plumber. I always tell people I'm not a plumber. That's my life, honey.
What do you think is the biggest problem you ever encountered in the journey of your career?
Racism.
When you go
I'm
into
different
more
levels
detail?
Of different levels of not necessarily on stage, but the thing is, I don't know, who knows? So much blockage, so much, because I'm a Shakespearean actor. What niggas gonna be up there doing Shakespeare? Please, my friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that. Remember to the words you can roads you can do. You can't do this. Can't do that.
Right.
I hated that in my career. I hated that. You know, the fact that limits black men specifically to specific things you can do or you cannot do. So, that's the biggest thing. The blockings of who they think you are.
Yeah.
And that's the moment I go on with that. I was at Warner Brothers Records. I was at. Oh, you know, I could go on for days, but you know, that's my biggest thing. If you, that's the one word. Racism and blocking for racism in this country.
And it's a lot of that going on. It's too much of it.
Yeah.
Going on. Yeah. You know, you would think by now things have slowed down, but it hasn't.
No.
You know, not at all. Not at all.
Prejudge coming and going, and you can't matriculate, can't move, you can't grow because they prejudge you so much. I won't get into that number there, but yes. The blockage for racism that people can't see what really is going on in a human being's life.
So tell me, what are the plans that you have for the upcoming months?
Yes, I have a nonprofit corporation. It's called the Performing Arts for Life and Education Foundation. PALF.org is our webpage, PALF.org. And we're doing a big fundraiser to raise money for our young people. We teach young people acting 10 weeks in the summertime. They learn funkified Shakespeare from backstage, on stage, to center stage, and everything in between. We're raising money for that program. Oh, yeah, we pay at least 10 actors, at least $1,000, probably more per week for the season. So our goal is at least $15,000 to get young actors, and that's my goal right now, to make sure that's successful every year. We're down by 20th year of that program, 20th season, I should say.
So do you have any artistic collaboration plans?
Well, yes. On the 1st of October, We're doing at this fundraiser, we have Marla Gibbs going to be there. Diane Watson's going to be there, the ambassador. Seth Whitmore's band is going to be this big old Opus One big band. He's a fabulous artist. And, of course, Elvis Laws is a headliner. So, yes, we have some nice stars, a lot of work with us and things we're doing in terms of our career to continue to pay the company.
Mm-hmm. Man, that sounds something I would like to really go and check out myself. So it sounds really interesting. Especially for the
I'm glad you asked. I happen to have the flyer in front of me right now. Can I read it to you?
Pardon me?
I happen to have the flyer in front of me right now.
You have the flyer right now?
I happen to have the flyer in front of me right now to read it to you if you want me to.
Oh, okay. Well, definitely I would love for, there's no way that I can get it from you right now, but I will definitely have you send it to me, because I definitely would like to be there in support of what you guys are doing. I think that is really wonderful. I really do.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, I definitely. I'll send you information. That's not a problem at all.
Okay. So how do you think social media has changed the industry?
Well, unfortunately, I'm just behind the eight ball in that. I have a producer of mine whose name is Chris Richards, a wonderful young man. For the past 3 years, mm-hmm. leading me through social media, so I'm just sort of just learning it. I think I don't know yet because things have been very good, but I'm still behind the eight ball,
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of the young people, what they're doing, I can see them instantly. It's probably a good thing, but personally, I'm still getting used to it. I'm a 71-year-old man, darling. I'm still trying to figure out the whole deal. But I am on Facebook, though. I have to do that. And Instagram. I have an Instagram page. So, yes, I'm getting there.
Okay. So, if our listeners want to look you up, how do they find you on Instagram and Facebook?
I think I'm Charles 251 on Instagram, something like. But if you just type Payless, PALF, Performing Arts for Life Education Foundation, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and of course Charles Douglas. Even any place you can type that in and find me there. But I am on Instagram.
Okay. And what advice would you give for someone who has just started a career?
I think you have to really want it in the theater business. You mean?
Yes.
You have to have a true desire for it because especially if you're an ethnic minority kid, it's very important to understand you must bring all your integrity, all your strength, all your desire, and really want to be a part of that world because it's difficult for anybody. And thank God nowadays the roles are becoming more for black people and more ethnic minorities get more roles, but it's few and far between. And you have to really be dedicated as a professional person to really want to do that sort of thing, Click your heels 3 times and pray for some good works for yourself,
Right. And so what do you want the listeners to know about you?
I'm a young man. Well, I'm older young man from the streets of Philadelphia. Persevering, mm-hmm. a strong family. And strong family values and really believing in spirituality to make my dream become a reality. I've been all over the world. I've been very surprised with what happened in my life because my mother's spirituality, center spirituality, has driven me all my career. So, yes, be spiritually centered and really believe in yourself, believe in what you do, and go for it.
Okay. And can you share with our listeners your website information?
Sure. www.Taylor, P. Like Paul, A. Apple, L. Lemur, E. Elephant, F. Frank, .org, Taylor.org. We keep it updated as much as we can. So if you go there, you will see information we're doing right now, what we've done in the past, and videotapes of work we've done in the past, and the whole story about Taylor from my students' point of view as well.
Okay.
We have Great.
I just got the flyer, actually, that it was just sent over to me. And so that Sunday, October 1st, 2023, and I guess it all kicks off around 4 p.m., and that will be in Los Angeles, California. So, and guess what? Miss Cassandra will be handling some things. I love her and adore her a lot. So I know it will be
she's like
everything.
She's a rock, and she's a rock, baby. She's my rock right there.
Oh, right. Well, you got to
have
that.
Oh, yes. I'm just so blessed
you
to have her.
You
got to
have
you know,
that
just,
in your corner.
Yep.
Yeah. So let me ask you this.
The Wilsondale House. Wilsondale or Adams, I'm sorry. That's where it's going to be located at, the show. Go ahead, the event.
Okay, and this is the 30th anniversary celebration that you guys are celebrating, and this is basically for the youth. Is that correct? For those of the for those that are just now tuning in.
Yes. This is our 30th anniversary celebration. We're going in 30th anniversary is March 21st, 2024 is our actual 30th anniversary. So going into right now this season.
All right. So you also had a role in The Wiz. Tell me about that.
Well, I had seen The Wiz 25 times before I ever did it. I was back and forth in New York City, back and forth. I went for maybe five times from the beginning to the end, but I would do what we call second act. I wait till the intermission came by, and I blended the crowd and going to see the second half of the show. I loved that show so, so much, and thank God. In 1979, they had an audition for the role of The Wiz and The Wiz and the touring company of The Wiz and The Wiz. So I auditioned for it. At first, I didn't get the part. But I was so persistent. I wanted to be the scarecrow. I wanted to be the Tin Man. And so then the guy saw me audition again, the producer, and he said, no, you're not the Tin Man. You're The Wiz. I got to throw The Wiz on Broadway, and I toured for 432 performances and never missed a night.
Wow. Amazing.
Never miss
you
a night.
Just are amazing all around the board.
I just was blessed. Blessings of God. I'm so glad.
For those that are just now tuning in, you're tuned in to FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. I'm your host, Pearl J. We have Charles Douglas on the line in the studio with us right now. He is a community activist, producer, director, and award-winning writer. And I want to tell you guys, you need to go out to, is this open to the public before I put that out there like that?
It is. It's only 175 seats, so, but it's open to the public. It's limited seating, but yes, it is open to the public.
Okay, and so they are able to purchase tickets online?
Yes, through Eventbrite.
Oh, on Eventbrite. Okay, so they just put in Palace, P-A-L-E-F, and it should come up on Eventbrite?
Yes.
All
it's
right.
It's called a Harlequin Masquerade. Harlequin Masquerade is the name of the event. Harlequin Masquerade is the name of the event.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you, Charles, for taking out the time this evening. I want to give a shout-out to WIC PR, also Cassandra Williams, for bringing you on the show. I've really enjoyed you. I just want to ask you, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just love, and love God and be God-centered, and I think it'd be a long, long way, you know. Peace, love, and happiness, you know. My mother always said that, and I love her so much. Like I said, her name was Mamie. We say, put the blame on Mamie. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you again for being a guest on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. We're going to go to a break, Cool Down the Pace by Gregory Igrip. Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you now.
You're welcome.
I was feeling tipsy and the mood was right. Sight a little daughter and a step in another. the place for me, little woman. That's not how it should be. I told her to try.
FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. I'm your host, Pearl J. The clock on the wall says I gotta go. But yes, you just heard from Charles Douglas, co-founder and artistic director of the Performing Arts for the Life and Education Foundation, and community activist and producer, director, and award-winning writer. Yes, it was a great show, and you guys need to come back for next week because it's going to be going down right here on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com.